Right now, justices at the Wisconsin Supreme Court are taking a look at the state's open records law and figuring out whether it applies to them and the rest of the Wisconsin court system. According to the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel, this all started last month when conservative talk show host Mark Belling made a records request to get an email address for a Waukesha County judge. He got a response from the director of state courts saying that the Supreme Court plans to decide whether the court system is actually subject to the open records law. The director sent a follow-up letter yesterday saying it would not provide the email address and that the court still has not decided whether the public records law applies to the court system. The statute as written does include, quote, any court of law in the list of entities that are covered by its provisions. This new development comes 3 years after the state legislature used a late-stage budget maneuver to greatly restrict access to lawmaker records. After public outcry, that effort was scrapped. Bill Leaders is the president of the Wisconsin Freedom of Information Council and the managing editor of the Progressive magazine. Bill, welcome back to Central Time.
Glad to be here. Thank you.
So, as an open records advocate, how does all of this sit with you?
Well, what happened was the response that was received by Mark Belling and to his request said that the court had decided to revisit this issue, to decide whether or not the open records law, which applies to everyone else, state and local government, whether the open records law applied to the court system. They've always been a little loosey-goosey about this. They say in response is that, well, you know, the court has never decided whether the law applies to us or not, but here are your records. We're going to give them to you here.
So basically saying we're not required to do this, but we're going to do it.
More that, you know, the issue has just never been determined to any degree of certainty. Which is strange because, as you know, the law says that any court of law is explicitly covered. So the intention of the legislature in drafting the law was to include the court system along with school boards and city councils and everybody else. But they've been a little bit, as I say, indistinct about whether it applies. What happened with Belling, the reply he got was characteristically different because it said the court is now reviewing this matter and will decide whether the law applies to the court system or not. And the response that came yesterday said that the court system has not ruled whether it is subject to the law and it continues to maintain the undecided status. I read that as a distinction from the earlier communication. I read that as they've backed off from this, that they're not going to go forward with it.
And the question seems to be, so this is a law that was put in place by the legislature, but yet the court is saying they're going to decide if it applies to themselves and the rest of the court system.
Yes.
So you would think that that's because of a case in front of them, but that's not the situation. So why do they think that they have the right to decide on this?
Well, the best guess, I mean, they've been very secretive about this. There have been no real communication from the court to members of my group. We've reached out to them a couple times, a couple ways, trying to get some sense of what was happening and on what timeline, whether the public would have any opportunities for input. And it's just been radio silence. But the argument that we presume they may be thinking about would be a separation of powers argument, saying essentially that the legislature can't tell the Supreme Court what to do, that they're separate and co-equal branches of government, and you can't be telling us what we should be doing. That would be fairly audacious, and I think that it would create a significant amount of blowback, but that would be something that they could try.
So this particular incident kind of started with the request of an email address for a judge,
yes,
which doesn't seem top secret. But what kind of information are we talking about that could possibly be asked for in open records requests that the courts might be hesitant to give?
Well, the particular request was actually denied. The court said to Belling, we're not going to give you the email address of a judge because we think it's just too dangerous to be giving out the email addresses of judges. They may be used to give ex parte communications that will bollocks up cases and judges will have to recuse and all this horrible stuff will happen, which is a little bit strange because a lot of judges do make their email addresses known. In most cases, it's pretty easy to figure out what they are just from the form of them. But they denied it on a balancing test grounds. In other words, the court said we're weighing the danger that could come from releasing this information against the presumed good of having access to it, and we're saying you can't have email addresses. Now, that's a smaller matter. If they had said the courts are not subject to the open records law, that would be a big thing. All court communications, internal communications, the communications that they get from legislators or from the public, all of that would be shut down. There'd be no access to it. I did a story a couple of years ago when Justice Rebecca Bradley, who had been appointed by Governor Walker, was running for election. One of these shadowy outside advocacy groups ran a phony issue ad that said, you know, call Rebecca Bradley, tell her what great job she's doing, blah, 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 and gave her Supreme Court phone number as the place where people should call to deliver this message. So I made a records request of Justice Bradley, said, you know, I'd like to hear the responses that you got. Who called you and what did they say? And, you know, I got one of those responses. The court has never decided whether the law applies or not, but here you go. And it was really interesting.
Because and so you did receive
I did
those.
Receive it.
Okay.
It was like 60 communications, and more than half of them weren't calling to say what a great job she was doing. The exactly opposite. They were critical calls. Only a very small number were positive. And it was just nice to be able to see what reaction had been generated in response to this commercial that had ran all across the state for days. That type of thing in the future, they would just say, you know, the law doesn't apply to us. We don't have to tell you what type of calls we're getting, who's contacting us about what.
We're talking with Bill Leaders right now. He's president of the Wisconsin Freedom of Information Council and the managing editor of the Progressive Magazine. We're talking about the Wisconsin Supreme Court being in the process of deciding whether the court system, including itself, is subject to the state's open records laws. So you gave an example, Bill, of asking for those voicemails that were left for justice as a result of an issue ad. We've talked about Belling asking for a judge's email address. Give us an idea of what else might be of importance to the public to have access to that an open records request could guarantee.
Well, I'll tell you another story. A couple of months ago, I learned that an attorney who had previously headed this group of attorneys that received judicial appointments from a particular county was kicked off of that committee after that attorney had filed a complaint against the judge who controlled that process. And so I looked into it, and emails were made available actually to the attorney, but given to me, which showed the internal communications over this. The type of communications that would be covered by this, we're not talking about court records. We're not talking about things that happen in the courtroom or are directly in response to court cases exclusively. It would also be these type of issues about how do the court employees conduct themselves, the employees that we're paying for through our tax dollars, how do they act? What do they say? Who are they hearing from, and how do they respond? Those type of communications would have been in jeopardy.
Often materials that can be requested through a Freedom of Information Act request might have some information redacted to protect privacy or protect sensitive information. Could you see some kind of guidance that would tell the courts that they need to release certain types of information, but with the ability to protect any sensitive information?
Sure. That's what the current law allows. The current law does have a mechanism that if there's a good, if you can come up with a good reason for redacting something or not releasing something, you can do that. And the idea of saying you're exempt from the law just obviates that need. It means we don't have to have a good reason for not giving you a record. We don't have to have any reason for not giving you a record. We're just not covered by the law. So that's the distinction there. Presently, the court can make an argument that's, as it did in this case, that releasing the email addresses of judges was just too dangerous. Mm-hmm. You know, too many bad things could happen if you could very easily find out a judge's email address. And they made that determination. It's subject to challenge. I mean, perhaps it could be challenged successfully. It's hard to say, but They had to come up with a reason. They couldn't just say, the law, you know, we don't care about the law. We're not subject to it.
And briefly, as we wrap up, Bill, what do you think is going to happen?
I think that they back down. I think that they got the message through the communications that my group had sent and some of the article that ran in the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel and some of the editorials that had started to appear that this would have been a big bad thing. And as you noted, this is almost exactly the 3-year anniversary when the legislature tried to exempt itself from the open records law. That turned out badly mm-hmm. for the legislature, and I think maybe they saw that any attempt to shield court records would draw any enormous backlash, which is good. I'm proud of the people of Wisconsin that we would not let that happen.
Well, Bill, thanks so much for joining us.
Sure, thank you.
Bill Leaders is the president of the Wisconsin Freedom of Information Council. He joined us to talk about the Wisconsin Supreme Court looking at whether they are subject to the open records law. This is Central Time. I'm Judith Sears-Poisson.